Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from Italy, we hear from Ruth Ann Henderson. Ruth Ann is a lay Dominican and lives in Turin, Italy, and her preaching is entitled On the Margins.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she couldn't, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it." And he solemnly swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptizer." Immediately, she rushed back to the king and requested, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately, the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord. This has got to be one of the most distasteful stories in the Gospel. Here's Herod. This is not Herod the Great, as he's commonly called, the one who was responsible for the massacre of the innocents. This is Herod the Great's son, Herod Antipas, who had gone against the law of the time and married his half-brother's widow, which at that time was considered to be incest. And this woman, by her first husband, had a young daughter. And we know how this girl was exploited by her mother. There have been several versions of the story of that exploitation for stage, for opera, for the cinema. The most famous is probably Oscar Wilde's Salome. And the dance is popularly known as the Dance of the Seven Veils, with at least a suggestion of a progressive dropping of the veils, as if she were a professional stripper. But Mark doesn't say one word except that she danced and that she pleased Herod and his guests. It's writers and choreographers who've decided to make it erotic. There's no mention in Mark of a name for the girl or of veils. It's all the more powerful in the version in the film of Matthew's Gospel made by Pier Paolo Pasolini, the Italian director, because he didn't use a sort of Miley Cyrus figure, a self-consciously sexy young woman, but a very young girl for this part. A girl, her name is Paola Tedesco. She was 12 at the time, and she looked 12. And her dance It's just really a sort of promenade round the banqueting hall to the music, I think, of a flute. And she's dressed in a loose, long tunic. She's completely covered. The whole thing is innocent. And that actually makes what follows even more shocking. The child just does what her mother tells her. And Herod, having promised her anything she wants as a prize for her dance, probably thought she'd ask for money or jewels or something. But Herodias saw it as a chance to get her revenge on John the Baptist, who had tried to prevent her incestuous marriage by warning Herod Antipas he was doing the wrong thing. It's extraordinary that on this memoria of John the Baptist, John is almost marginal. He gets a mention in verse 18, but his martyrdom is really dismissed in a couple of lines. He's not like Stephen. He has no heroic words as he dies. And in fact, if you look at the gospel in general, John always seems to be on the margins. Okay, he leaps with joy in his mother's womb when Mary comes to visit her. He recognizes Jesus as he's baptizing people in the Jordan. He sends a message to Jesus showing that he's still, in my Scottish dialect, the word is swithering, he's still uncertain, trying to make up his mind whether Jesus really is the Saviour. He'd been living an ascetic life, to put it mildly, but he came out of the desert to try to persuade people to repent and serve God and be saved. He had disciples, but he and his disciples faded into the background once Jesus started his public ministry. And yet here, through this squalid, tawdry incident, his ascension to glory was realized. The last of the prophets, the first of the martyrs.